I think there are a lot of people, in our culture in particular, who have this perception that the Bible is in some way restrictive. Pastor Tim Keller, who's a pastor in Manhattan, calls it viewing the Bible as a straitjacket. Restricts how we live. And I think that some of these people are right. The Bible is kind of restrictive in the sense that it says, yes, these are good things, and no, these are not good things. These are not things that God desires or has designed. But the Bible is restrictive as railroad tracks are restrictive to a train. Railroad tracks restrict trains from going off track and crashing, of course. They restrict them so that they will arrive at their intended destination. So the scriptures are restrictive, but they're restrictive in a helpful and necessary way. And as Christians, as we come to the scriptures, we must, quote unquote, ride the rails of the scriptures if we want to really experience the life that God has planned for us. Now, the Bible is not an end in itself, and sometimes we can get caught up in that. There are lots of people who measure spirituality by how much knowledge about the Bible someone has, or on how often someone reads the Bible. So the Bible is not an end in itself, but it is a means to an end. It takes us to a destination. Through the scriptures, as we approach them, we are allowing God to speak to us and transform us. During the Advent season, we talked about a God who reveals himself, who speaks and acts and leads and dwells with us and comes to us. And now we're talking about, from now until Lent, we're talking about how do we listen? If God is revealing, how do we receive that revelation and get to know him and follow him faithfully? So this morning, I want to talk a little bit about the scriptures themselves and ask, where is it that these scriptures lead us, that these train tracks lead us? And then ask, how do we get on these tracks if we want to go to those destinations? So first, where do the scriptures lead us? And there's this great verse in 2 Timothy that we read. Paul is encouraging Timothy to continue. He says in verse 14, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings, the scriptures." And in particular, he would have been talking about the Old Testament to Timothy. "You've known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Says first, the scriptures lead us to salvation, or literally, they make us wise to understand where salvation is. Salvation in the scriptures is kind of a combination of being reconciled to God, in relationship with God, and also living the life we were created to live. That is living a saved life, in relationship with God, and living the life we were created to live. And the scriptures are a story about God saving the world. So if we want to understand where we can find salvation and how God is saving the world and how we can live this life of salvation, he says, continue in the scriptures that you've known. Timothy, again, would have learned the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament. And these scriptures were leading them to the Messiah, leading them to the one who would give them hope, preparing the people for salvation. And so that is why he then says, not only will they lead you to salvation, they'll lead you to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, through faith in the Messiah, who is Jesus. As we talked about back in Genesis 5, when we looked at genealogies, we said the scriptures are a story whose point is Jesus. The Bible is a story that leads us to the Messiah, because in him is salvation. The sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Jesus. So the Bible is not just leading us into different behaviors to do or different ideas to think. They're leading us to a person, to a relationship with someone who can bring us salvation, the Messiah. So again, these are not an end in themselves. Jesus is the end and purpose and source of salvation. He's the point of the scriptures, and that's where they lead us. They lead us to salvation that we find in Jesus the Messiah. Third, So they lead us to salvation, they lead us to Christ. Third, they lead us to good works. Within the context of the salvation that we find in Jesus, we have a life of good works, and the Scriptures show us what that looks like. In verse 16, it says, all Scripture is inspired by God. And very literally, that says, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's God-breathed. And is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient or thoroughly equipped for every good work. That passage reminds me of a passage we looked at in Ephesians chapter 2, where it says, you are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for the good works that He prepared for you in advance. We were created to do good things. And when the Scriptures lead us to Christ and to the life of salvation that we find in Him, it's a life of good works. And the Scriptures show us, what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to listen to God? We open up the Scriptures and we see that. We are not meant to just trust our conscience or just follow our heart. Okay? That's what chapter 3 is about. It's about the fact that we live in this world where there are all kind of boasters and arrogant and abusive, disobedient, unholy, people who love themselves instead of God, people who hate good. All of these things are in the world around us, and we are affected by them, and we're affected by the culture around us. We're not just supposed to trust our hearts or trust the culture. We're supposed to trust God. We're supposed to trust the Word that He has put in front of us to show us what a truly good and God-honoring and fruitful life looks like. What it looks like to live the life we were created to live. That's what the Scriptures show us as part of this story. And so it says, all Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching. We know what that means. It's useful for reproof, which means challenging us when we're wrong. It's useful for correction, which means when we're wrong, putting us back on the proper path. And it's useful for training in righteousness, for helping us to live that life, and for training, like any tool that we use to train ourselves in a job or in a sport. That's what the Scriptures help us to do. It's practice for living the good life, so that we can be equipped, thoroughly equipped, for every good work. The Scriptures are like the railroad tracks that lead us to these things, that lead us to salvation as they lead us to Christ and lead us into this life of good works that we live in relationship with Christ and following Him. I think those are good destinations. And that, to me, makes me want to get on those tracks. Not on these other tracks that we can be on, but on this railroad track of the Scriptures to get there. So that leaves us with the question, then, how do we get on this track? If it leads to salvation, if it leads to Christ, if it leads to a life of good, how do we get on those tracks? And we have our resident expert in railroading, Chuck here, who incidentally has a book that just came out, which is fantastic, so you can talk to him if you want to get that book. But anyway, enough advertising. But I emailed him this week. He didn't ask me to do that. I emailed him this week. I said, what is it called when you put a train on the tracks? And he said, it's called re-railing. And I think that's a good term for us. Because sometimes we get off track. How do we get re-railed back onto the Scriptures, into the Scriptures, so we can be approaching Christ and approaching salvation and living life of good works? Well, first of all, I want to point out that if we want to get into the Scriptures, we have to cherish them. We have to understand what a gift they are. In our culture, we have plenty of Bibles. We have at least a Bible in this church for every member, if we count the Bibles that we have in our pews and the Bibles that we all have at home. I think I read a study that said in Christian homes, we average about 3.5 Bibles per home. We have plenty of Bibles. The problem is, we don't use them. We don't open them. We don't read them. We don't appreciate what a gift they are. Before the printing press was invented, for most of Christian history, if people wanted to have a Bible, you know what had to happen? Someone had to sit down and write out this whole thing. And they did it. Monks spent their whole lives practically sitting and writing out the scriptures because they believed that this is such a gift from God that it was worth all of that time and all of that effort. I've read stories about places where the Bible was either really unavailable or illegal. And Christians would have maybe one Bible for a whole community, and they would tear out the pages and hand it out to different people. And your family would get a day with one of the pages. And you would read it and read it and memorize it in a lot of cases, and then you pass it on so someone else could read it as well. These are people who would cherish what a gift this is because it leads us to Christ and to salvation and to the good life. This is a gift that God has given us to know Him, and we need to cherish it. Now, some people use the term bibliolatry for people who put a lot of importance on the Bible. They say people put the Bible in place of God. And that's valid in some places, that we put the Bible over actually having a relationship and listening to God and following Him. But to cherish the Bible is not a bad thing. It's like cherishing a gift that someone has given you, a loved one has given you, for your good. And so we need to first cherish this thing. And second, we need to learn how to use it. And so during this series of learning to listen between now and Lent, I'm going to be trying to offer you some basic tips, really specific basic tips for using your Bible. And today I just want to say, have a helpful Bible. Get a good Bible for you. This passage says the scriptures are useful. They're not useful. They wouldn't be useful if I gave you a Hebrew and a Greek Bible, would it? They would be the scriptures, but they wouldn't be useful. You need to have a Bible that is useful to you. All right? Choosing a Bible is important. Because quick story. For a long time, scholars thought that the New Testament was written in some kind of divine language. They knew it was Greek. But all of the examples that we had of Greek were what we call classical Greek. And so like Homer and, you know, a lot of these, the great literary pieces, they had as examples of Greek. And they looked at that and they looked at the Bible and they said, this is a different kind of dialect or language. So for a long time, scholars thought the Bible was written in this divine, mysterious language. Until they did more research, and what they found was that the Bible was actually written in street-level Greek. So it wasn't written in this classical Greek literature. It was written for the people. It wasn't written for just a few people to be able to understand. It was written for all of us to be able to access it, to open this gift and to use it. And so you need a good Bible to connect you to the scriptures. A good Bible does two things then. One, it accurately and faithfully represents the original texts. And there are Bibles that do a better or worse job of that. And you have an insert with you on kind of my opinions on some of the top Bible translations out there and how faithful, how accurately they convey the original Hebrew or for the Old Testament and the Greek of the New Testament. Second, your Bible needs to be understandable to you. Both of those things have to be in place if it's going to connect you to the Scriptures. Okay? So get a Bible that's, one, as accurate as you can, and two, understandable. And there's a little discussion on that insert of why Bibles go in kind of towards these two different poles of translations. But the tip I want to leave you with today is some basic ways of finding a good Bible and having it be useful to you. First, I want to suggest that you get yourself a study Bible. Okay? Now, I meant to have one with me. Does anyone have a study Bible on hand? Did anyone bring one with you today? You have one in your purse? A little one? Okay. That's okay. We have one in the church library. It's called an ESV study Bible. And study Bibles are just a Bible that have study notes on the bottom. Extremely useful things. Because there is some strange and confusing stuff in the Bible to us. Right? We should expect that. Because we do not live in the same culture as the writers of the scriptures. We don't live in ancient Roman culture. We don't live in ancient Hebrew culture for sure. Okay? So there are going to be things that are strange and confusing to us in the Bible. Now often we just sit in our pews and listen to those strange things and we're like, oh yeah, that's so interesting. No, they're not supposed to be like interesting or kind of funny. they're supposed to, they make sense. They make sense in the culture they were written in. And that's what a study Bible does, is it helps bring you back to the culture and says, oh, you know why it says this? Because in this culture, this was the case. They give you help translating and understanding what the Bible is saying. I've had so many experiences in focus groups and in what we called focus groups in my last church. In these groups, people have study Bibles, and people will say, man, I just don't understand that verse. We'll say, do you have a note on it in your study Bible? People will read the note, and they'll say, oh, that makes so much sense. Get a study Bible. There can be very reasonably priced, and if price is an issue for you, please talk to us, because we want to have, as a church, we'll figure out a way. I'm saying this with all our trustees here. And we'll find a way to get a study Bible in your hands, because we want you to have something that is useful to you and that helps you to get into the Scriptures, okay? So try out a study Bible, and there are a couple. Like I said, there's one in the library that you can look at. If you have any other questions about them, just talk to me, and we can look over a few of them. Otherwise, a couple other helps. And again, I meant to have a stack of these things with me today, but maybe I just thought it would be too intimidating. I don't know. Actually, I forgot. But a couple other things that you can use. One, we have another book in the library called How to Read the Bible Book by Book. Okay, and it's a really great, basically sized book, and it goes through each book of the Bible, and it just says who wrote it, when was it written, what are some of the basic themes, what are some things to look for as you read this book. And so if you're reading the book of 2 Timothy, for instance, just come into the church. You can get the book for yourself, or you can come into the church, go to 2 Timothy, and there are probably 3 or 4 pages, and just copy them, all right? And take it home and use it as you read, all right? It's simple as that. Also, I've put together, from a bunch of books I've read, a bunch of things professors said in classes, I've kind of compiled some reading helps for you that go through some of the different genres of the Bible, narrative or a letter like we read today, or Psalms, or prophecy, and just put some basic things to look for and questions and some basics that are going to help you as you read a different kind of literature, like prophecy. What do we do with prophecy? It's not the same as a story, so how do we read it? And these are just things that are going to help you to do that. And they're very simple. And if you want to sit down and talk about it, we'll do that. Okay, so study Bibles, other helps, and third, and this is key, is community. To understand the Scriptures, God has put us into a community to read them together, to discuss them, to apply them together, to help each other understand. That's one of the things our focus groups are doing. The Scriptures, don't quote me on this statistic, but probably at least 90% of the Bible is written to community. I mean, we have a letter today that's written to Timothy, an individual, but most of it is written to communities. And so it's meant to be understood within a community, a faith community. All right, and so that's why we gather together around the Scriptures and read them together and talk about them so we can understand them. And second, that's why I'm here. I'm part of your community if you have any questions about it. That's why I've gone to school and been trained, so that you could call me. And by the way, this would make my day. If I got a phone call that said, hey, Pastor John, I was reading my Bible this morning, and I had a question. I would love to be here for you. If you come across something that you really don't understand, whether it's a technical thing or whether it's an application thing, like, how do I do that? Give a call. And that's why we're here as a community, to do that for one another. So those are some of my basic tips for the day on getting re-railed into the Scriptures and having it be something that's meaningful and understandable to you. All right, it just takes some of these little tools and some of these relationships to make it happen. This Bible can seem intimidating, but it's really a lot. It's meant to be accessible. It's meant to be useful for what God intended it to be used for. All right, this Bible is not God, but it is a gift that God has given us. It's a gift that we often take for granted. It's like the railroad track that leads us to salvation, as it leads us to Jesus, and it leads us into a life of good where we're shining the light of God to the world. So let's re-rail ourselves. Let's get back on this track and get into the Scriptures together and listen to what God is saying to us. Let's pray. Holy and loving God, we are grateful that you have spoken to us. We are grateful for your word. And Lord, we confess that There are times where we don't want to open it up. We confess there are times where we struggle to understand what it means, and we just ask that you would help us with that. Give us that motivation to get in there because of what's there and where it leads us. Help us to see you there. And help us to find all of the gifts of salvation and of you and of the good life that we find as we read it and as we follow your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.